These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
Good morning, students, and gobble, gobble. This is Bravo Breakdowns. I'm your host, Lauren Davis, and we have a special guest host, a guest lecturer, if you will, for today's podcast. Please welcome Angela Von Hatten from Wonderful Garbage Podcast.
Hi, thank you all so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, thank you for joining us. We're so excited to talk Salt Lake City with you, talk reality TV with you. So what brought you to, the Church of Reality TV initially, Angela?
You know, I feel like I got into Vanderpump Rules in my early adulthood, and that really brought me into the Bravo universe.
Such a common gateway drug.
Yeah, it is that gateway drug. I mean, as a child, like, I didn't have cable, so I would, like, go home and watch the Rosie O'Donnell show. So, like, maybe that's, like, my intro to reality and, like,
oh my God, you have to come back when Michelle is here, because that would be the whole episode.
Like, okay.
Rail it to talk about Rosie with you if she was on.
I was just like, you know, I listen to, like, other people's podcasts, and they're like, it was MTV, it was Disney, it was all these things. And I'm like, well, we didn't have cable. So I got, like, what was ever on our 8 channels and, like, late night stuff. So I love all of just any kind of, like, celebrity interviews, which I feel like a lot of these people on reality shows are celebrities in their own world.
Yeah, and this is, like, I feel like the best time for reality TV in terms of, like, becoming its own, like, you know, interview, talk show, gossip circuit, you know? That's, like, so much of the culture and, like, the, you know, what's around it now.
Absolutely. And it's just so fascinating to watch people live these lives that, like, I would never live or be a part of. Like, that was so great about just all the old school housewife shows, the Orange Counties, the Beverly Hills, the New Yorks, like,
yeah,
how they live and how they act and how they are in society. And I just love to be able to watch that on our screens and jump on my couch.
No, I totally know what you mean, where it's like, that is something I feel like we're missing a little bit of, because, like, old season, it's kind of like Epcot, the way that they cast, like, so, like, stereotypical New Jersey housewives, and, you know, like, it's like, oh, you really see, like, a piece of each of the like, the different regions, high society is, like, depicted. And that's, like, so, yeah, just fun from an anthropological perspective.
Exactly.
So you said you also like the judgment aspect. This brings me to another question that I think is, like, really reveals a lot about a reality TV watcher. Do you view housewives as more of, like, a comedy, a drama, a morality play, like a sports game where you, like, analyze the performances? Like, how do you, or a combo of them, how do you kind of watch the girls?
I think it's absolutely a combination. I think comedy for sure, when they are fighting over the silliest things that, like, mean nothing. Someone was invited to a dinner. They weren't invited to a dinner. They're wearing that shoe. Oh my goodness. I just wore that dress last season and now they brought it out in this confessional. How dare you, you know?
Yeah. A society, comedy of manners.
Exactly. Yeah. But also the realness of it, especially what we're seeing in Salt Lake City, which we're covering today. The realness of things that are going on in people's lives, like what Mary has brought to the show with her son, what Bronwyn's bringing to the show with her family, her parents who are older and now having to care for them, just, you know, those kind of aspects. And we see a lot of relationship things too, friendships, marriages. So I think it's a combination of all of that. It's comedy, it's drama, it is morality. If I'm feeling down, I can put on the show and maybe feel better about myself.
I mean, I do think that's like its emotional place in society, right? Is like, you know, they're kind of our shame eaters. But you bring up like a really good point about how like right now, especially, I feel like, you know, because we're in like a really uncertain, tumultuous, bad time in America, it's like we're seeing more of these like kind of human struggles that everyone can relate to, like your parents getting older and having to care for them. And that's like, you know, more moving. Whereas like, you know, if we'd watched it 10 years ago on like, you know, Atlanta, its funniest season, we'd be like, okay, well, this is kind of boring. Can we get into the, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Absolutely. Like I just finished an Atlanta rewatch earlier this year. And I think it's interesting watching shows in your 20s and then again in your 30s and later on, because your perspective changes and like what you cared about. Like I was so into Vanderpump Rules in my 20s and I still am, but I see it from another lens. And then now having the Valley to pick up on some of those people in real time, like, it's so interesting watching it at different times. And
yeah,
Maybe, you know, what these housewives were going through. I didn't really understand it when I was like 22, just like, I'm putting this on, whatever. But now I'm like, oh, okay, these are maybe more serious topics I didn't really realize.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's part of it too, is like with age, there's perspective. And I do think that's a part of why VPR is like the entry point for like so many men who are reality TV fans and so many just people who are reality TV fans in general, because it's like, I really feel like there's no other piece in media, TV show, book, movie, anything that really captures like working in the service industry in your 20s the way that Vanderpump Rules does, which is such a universal experience, you know? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And then, you know, being in your 30s and worried, you know, is now a universal,
totally different.
Yeah. And that's the Valley in the housewives, 30s and up, middle age. Okay, speaking of middle-aged women, let's get into the season of Salt Lake City so far. So we'll be covering episode 11, last night's episode. But what have you thought of the season overall?
It's giving vintage housewives. It's, you know, they're one of the newer franchises. They're in their sixth season. It's hitting on all cylinders. It's crazy. Mm. It's chaotic. I appreciate these women for, and just anyone who does reality TV, for going on these shows and opening their lives and sharing things with us. Some sharing more than others. But nonetheless, I appreciate them willing to put what they put on TV, because, wow, this season, it's top tier.
I completely agree. I completely agree with what you said about it being like a kind of going back to old school in terms of like a lot of Salt Lake City so far has been very like memeable and a lot of quotes. And this season, it seems like they really are working together to slow it down, to really have cohesive storylines and just milk everything they can, like really get all the juice they can. And it's like really hitting kind of a New York, like Roni Atlanta type golden age, in my opinion, where it's like, it's an ensemble working on all cylinders. And then what you said about, the respect. That is like such a huge thing for us on this podcast is, you know, like things can get really negative in the fandom, but we just always come from a place of having the utmost respect for these people as performers, like willing to show their vulnerabilities. And just in terms of what they're delivering for us in terms of entertainment, like, yes, we have fun and we have teams and stuff, but it's like, oh, they're just, they all deserve Emmys. They really should be reality TV performer Emmys.
1,000%. Like, they need to create an own separate day, an own separate award show just for reality TV in that space, though, because, I mean, we could go on all day. We could, like, present so many different kinds of awards for these women, or just recognize that they're willing to go out there, you know, because, like, once you put yourself on a TV show, as we've seen from some of these housewives who have things coming up in their past, like, things will be found out if you come on these shows. It might not happen the first season you're on, but things are going to come out of the woodwork eventually. And if you're willing to risk that, if you're good, then go for it.
Yes, it's like, I do feel like, you know, there should be, you know, even though there's more media literacy, I feel like as a whole from audiences, it's like, I still feel like there's not enough respect for, like, yes, we know there must be something deeply wrong with these people's brains to even want this, but still, this is, they've given us so much, you know, like, we have to, and like, if the Emmys did this, it would be a ratings giant. And
yeah,
I think it would protect some of these, you know, it's just like, I don't know, I'm such a scold about this, but all the hate that you know, reality TV performers get, I just, like, I don't know, I'm so, I worry for them.
It's such a fine line. And do you watch Love Island? Were you alone?
Yes, yes. Okay. That's like fever pitch, dude. That's like,
so this season was just so, it just really brought out, and I don't know if it's people who didn't, aren't as familiar with reality TV as some of us are, and able to separate the show and the people from actual reality, even though we call it reality TV. But the way especially that show is filmed, where it's just a pressure cooker and things are happening so quickly, and, you know, it is produced in a sense. And
yes. Oh, highly produced.
You know, yeah. So, and I think a lot of us, like, more seasoned reality TV watchers understand that. We've seen that, especially, like I said, I didn't have cable, but I have seen, like, Road Rules and The Challenge and all these other Bravo shows and things like that. Like, we understand how these shows are formatted. And I feel like a lot of people maybe who watched Love Island this summer didn't. And it just, it got really dark. And that's not what we want from these shows. These shows aren't supposed to bring us into the darkness. They're supposed to take us out of the darkness.
Exactly. Like, if we had a mission statement, it would be that, like, this should be good for your mental health, not bad, you know? Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, I don't want to get too deep. I could really talk about this.
I know. We'll do a whole nother episode. I'll come back. I know. Michelle's probably like, you guys need to stop talking.
No, she's like, right now, she's thinking, go back to Rosie. Why aren't you guys talking more about Rosie? I know.
That's no, I'll come back. Okay, we'll get, let's come on to that.
You gotta come back. Okay. I was just like a little bit, I do think it's people, like, a lot of them were aware because they were complaining a lot about it being overproduced and, like, the contestants getting to vote too much and playing the game too much. I really think that the show and part of its runaway success were creating those conversations and, like, creating those, controversial production choices that generate conversation, having controversial edits on people. So that generates, like, teams. And then also the Nickelandria kind of letting the audience have a say and control in, like, having a write-in vote over who is meant to be. Yeah. I actually think it's kind of, like, warped the rules and like, it kind of gave in to the worst instincts of some watchers. But anyway, we can go much.
No, it changed the game for that type of reality show where you get to vote at the same time as you're watching it.
Yes. It was like choose your own adventure. And, like, that's exactly what people want right now. They want control over, like, stuff that they feel like is immoral that's happening. They're like, I'm watching it and I want to stop it. And it's my job to talk online and stop it, you know?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, that they want control.
Yeah, because we have no control right now. So, of course, we want it. Please, and if it can just be, like, someone being nice to this girl who deserves a nice guy.
Yes. Gosh, Amaya. I mean, she was a breakout star of...
I love Amaya Papaya.
...reality.
I just love how she was just so unaware of her body in space. That's like what we see in a lot of the greats, I feel like, where it's just, you know...
And Alandria, I mean, her run, Alandria's fashion run right now...
She's killing it. Oh my gosh, her Siriano looks, I'm loving. Like, her, you know, yeah, she's just like a red carpet star. Yeah. They need to have her walking more runways, I feel like.
She's going to be in more.
For sure.
1,000%.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy that, I not to, like, echo what so many people have said, but it's crazy that, like, she was just a regular person until, like, she was 28 and she got on TV. It's like, why? Shocks me she wasn't, like, a sign model or, like, a pageant winner before that. But, yeah. Okay. Okay. SLC. SLC.
I'm so sorry. Okay, we'll talk about anything else.
You were like, no, let's get back on track. And you were like, and remember, just so you guys know, we are covering Salt Lake City. I'm like making you host because there's so much to talk to you about.
Speaking of the runway, let's talk about this runaway train.
Anyway. And not just my hosting, the runaway train of the episode, Salt Lake City, episode 11, season 6, episode 11. So this was, we go back to a classic Salt Lake City locale and like a season mainstay. That's another great thing about Salt Lake City is they have these mainstays like the Berkshire's trips, like where it's like the luncheon at Walter's or the Mary's luncheon, sometimes at her place. It's always going to be an epic storyline event, you know,
whether they are meeting at Walter's or in a parking lot on some fold out chairs, you know, they're going to do their job.
They're going to show up and deliver. And Mary also her commitment to, she's not even like trying to be quirky with the theme, like, you know, like, Angie was with their like class A party. Like really this is Mary delivering what she thinks is primo eleganza, which is you get to go home with your own beta fish. What could be more elegant?
But that's just Mary. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's just her. Like, yeah. She's not playing a character. She isn't trying to act like someone that she isn't. Like, it's her. Yes. And that's what makes her. I haven't always been a Mary fan. I Same. Didn't like in the past when she would, like, body shame women and talk down to them in a certain way.
Same.
But I have grown on her and
she's really showing up, you know? Yeah. And like, we keep talking about like how shocking it is, like, to think that, like, after seeing her in season 2, if you told me that in season 6, Mary would be one of the most clocked in, ready to work, making storylines work from an emotional perspective, diplomatic cast members, I would be like, no fucking way. Like, and then like, she is.
Does she really, like, is she in need of that money? Because what's going to be coming out in that documentary?
Talk about that a little. So last episode, we saw Mary's church, which has been under renovations for 2 years. And what I was kind of shocked at is it's quite small. It's like a little chapel. But we all know Mary has, like, 4 homes, including one in New York. Like, do they have like a separate business, or was there a trust from her grandma? Like, where is the money coming from?
And how much, if there is a trust, right? I mean, there had to have been something with the whole contract of her taking over the church and having to marry who she had to marry. And,
right.
You know, and we're both in Texas, so we understand churches and finances around those churches and exemptions and things. So, but yeah, where is this money coming from? What is happening?
I really hope that the doc kind of gets into that, because it's like, I mean, a lot of it has been, you know, litigated and online gossip where it's like, there's the two sides of the story. There's like Mary's mom and her sisters who are like, Robert Sr. was a mastermind and he murdered the grandma. And, you know, like they did this will together and they're in cahoots. And Mary's is like, my grandma wanted it and my mom was money hungry and stuff. So it's like, we kind of know the two sides of that, but it's like, I just want to know the nuts and bolts of, because it's like, we kind of had the same questions around the one Miss Jennifer Shaw and where all of her money came from. So I think kind of that's the story here, right?
Yeah. I want to know more of the backstory of the church and the people who participated in it, and maybe the popularity of it back in the day, because it has to have been a thing for there to be so much wealth around it.
Right. And was there like a dramatic fall off after it switched hands, but the money was still there? Or, you know, because it's like that money can't all just be from, you know, tithing and impoverished parishioners, as is the rumor. Like, there's got to be something
more to it. No. What I also loved in this lunch is Mary making sure that she had her 2003 Dom.
Yes.
They, of course, were like, oh, yes, and that heat wave from back in the day that made the best grapes, right? That flashback that we got to season one.
Yes, yes, where like 1,000 people die, but it was the best grapes ever.
What I also love about these Housewives flashbacks is seeing prior faces. Yes. And I don't like to talk, like, I'm not here to talk down on anyone, but we do know that these housewives get seasonal glow ups, right? Depending on what they want to do.
Yeah.
And so I love a good flashback. I love a good Beverly Hills flashback. Those are so fun to see. Mm-hmm. Original faces.
Yeah. And to watch the show go from good to unwatchable in real time.
No, I know. I'll come back for Beverly Hills. We can talk.
Oh, yes.
Trash on that the whole time.
Yeah, all day. it's for like Salt Lake City, I do think like, you know, there's a lot of like, they get a lot of, Jennifer Lawrence, I think, recently shat on Lisa Barlow's Threadlift new face on Las Culturistas. But I really, you know, maybe it's because I'm so bewitched by the ladies as performers. But it's like, I think their faces are always gorgeous, just different every season. And I look forward to seeing what faces next.
Yeah, no, the lighting definitely helps. The lighting and the contour. I mean, you have to get the best lighting because I saw some of those faces at BravoCon also. And they, you know, different lighting in Vegas. Sometimes not the best lighting in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know.
Okay, I loved Mary. So, right, they're all sitting down at Valter's, which I don't think we went to Valter's last season.
I think we skipped it because I do think Valter passed, sadly.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember if we had gone back or not. But
Mary's house for the Audrey Hepburn luncheon.
That's right. Okay. I love how Mary was like, everyone's here except Brittany.
Yes.
She called me ungodly, so I didn't want to invite her. But then she apologized, but I was unsure about inviting her, so I asked my dog.
Yes.
My dog didn't respond, so she's not here. I'm like, through Mary fashion again. Yeah,
she put it in dog's hands. And he did not extend a paw. So dog said no. I love also about the flashbacks how the episodes are so like jam-packed that this would be a scene we would have seen last episode on another franchise, but there's just not time. So it's like, all right, we'll just get like the, you know, 1 minute insert, cut down to like six jokes, and then we'll come back.
Yeah, because we need to talk about this alleged stuff that happened on the plane with Meredith, right? We had to get everyone's reactions last episode, and now we need to bring it to the table to see the literal table to like see like what happened on that dang plane.
Yeah, I think it's almost better that, like, you know, the defendant wasn't here so that we could really, you know, litigate the case together. This really, have you seen like a 12 Angry Men or like had to read the play?
Oh, yeah, long time ago.
It really reminded me of that where it's like, you know, they're all around a table and they're like, we've got to get to the bottom of this by the end of the luncheon. Like, we have to really figure it out and give the verdict and decide, like, fully at it. And Meredith was like the plaintiff representing herself, you know, like using, it's like, even though like we got a lot of like different evidence, it's like we never looked at the timestamps on the text messages is like my one complaint where it's like, that seems like it would really, they were texting on the plane. I feel like that would really clear up a lot of the case.
I have so many questions. I feel like I definitely think Meredith was pissed. I think she was, I think her and Lisa were being mean girls and wanted Brittany to feel uncomfortable that whole flight. I think Lisa maybe riled Meredith up and like, yes, you're right. Your feelings are right. How could she bring that up to you? Like, you and Seth are great. She, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I could totally see them talking loudly behind the seat. I could totally see as Meredith is getting up from her seat, shaking it aggressively, right? Just being like a little like, type thing. Like, you know, like you're walking by someone and they maybe like elbow you aggressively because they're in a mood. Like, I feel like she's just doing something. Maybe her hair was pulled in that. I mean, I have long hair. It gets pulled every, like, I totally get that. I just feel like if it had gotten like really violent or really intense, an air marshal or someone would have stepped in at the end.
Right.
Something I would think.
Yeah, if it had gotten to like scared for her life.
Like the producers would have stopped something in that sense or would have made her move. But I think they were all watching it just kind of like, we'll see how this plays out.
Right.
But I definitely think something happens. More than just Meredith venting to her friend and then falling asleep.
Right. I was on the fence about this because like Whitney and Heather, I feel like have played such a good strategic season where like, and they're like, this is kind of their way to like pull Meredith into the season because she's been disengaging, to be honest. But like when the smoking gun to me is there, like, what movies did you watch during the Meredith interrogation? Yeah. She's like, Crazy Rich Asians, which I think Lisa has to help her with. And then another movie I don't remember. And then they don't remember the end. And then they're like, wasn't that so normal to not remember the end of a movie you've seen? I'm like, a week ago? I don't think so. I don't know. Do you remember the end of like a movie you watched a week ago on a plane?
Okay, I will say I have like a horrible memory. My brain is messed up. I don't know from what, but it is. But no, I would think I would still remember it. Also, it was like a 13-hour flight. Like so much can happen. Meredith can't just say like, I watched a movie and fell asleep. I talked to Lisa for 30 minutes. It's like, no, you weren't on a 3-hour flight. You guys were there for 13 hours. Like,
yeah.
So much can happen on that flight. It's not enough time for two movies and a nap.
Right. And that's what makes it difficult to figure out, because it's like these women are all like clearly, I mean, I have ADHD. I'm super time blind. Like, don't know the difference between 5 hours and 13 hours. It's all, you know, I just, you know, it's a construct to me. And it's like an argument between Mary and Meredith over who understands the amount of time better. And I'm like, I really don't know.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to Meredith is saying her time is accounted for by two movies and sleep, and then the time's not adding up and she didn't watch the movies.
Yeah.
It's you perhaps might be misremembering, my dear.
Absolutely. And then Lisa kept being like, well, she was talking to me about it. Like, she was telling me. She wasn't yelling at Brittany. It's like, girl, we've all had those conversations with friends where more than likely I was inebriated and I wanted to let someone hear something without me directly telling them. And I'm going to tell my friend because I know that person's right there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to overhear it. Like, what? I was messy in my 20s. Whatever. You know, like.
Yeah, we've all been there. Yeah.
So, like, we know exactly what they were doing.
Yes.
And then this kind of half-ass apology we get from Meredith later on of being like, well, I'm sorry I hurt her.
Your feelings. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, ultimately, like, Heather, I feel like, lays down the law and is like, you know, you've lost the right to cry. When we harassed her on the plane, your sentence is you must apologize or we're going to continue to like hold up your story and not film with you until you apologize. That's the final word. And then Meredith digs an even bigger ditch for herself as a last ditch effort by revealing that Bronwyn told her that there has been gossip that it was because Meredith was drinking at the bar before and she maybe doesn't remember. And like Meredith walks into the trap, brings that into the court of law, makes that part of the storyline where it's like, well, you think it's because I'm drinking it on pills. It's like, well, yeah, that's what we were all insinuating. And now that is like the verdict as well, you know? Whitney kind of like lays it out like you've got three options. You have a heart full of hate.
Yeah,
you have a rage problem, or you're mixing like medications and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Do you think it's any of those three, a combo or issue?
I think it is a combo because even in I think last week's episode, or maybe it was the ending of the one before, when Mary sits down with Meredith on their own and they meet up after the plane ride, and Mary's like, mm-hmm. I just want to check on you and like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Mary recognized something
yes.
in her and she yes. wanted to have that conversation one-on-one.
Yeah.
And Whitney is saying she recognized something the same. It's pulling on past experiences that they have had in their lives.
Right.
And I hate saying that, but we have seen Meredith throughout the seasons being maybe a little more clouded.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Clouded than normal. She'll clock mm-hmm. in when she feels like she needs to clock in. I think she's a really good side character for the show. I don't really see yes. her as a main cast member anymore.
I agree. Better that way, you know.
Yeah, I think so. So I think she... I think there was more there. But you know what also bothered me is I'm a Bronwyn fan. I like her. I think she's a great addition to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think she jumps the gun too quickly
uh-huh.
on sharing conversations that she's had with other women.
Yes.
She needs to save that stuff for the reunion. And if yeah. the other housewives aren't bringing it up throughout the season, that's her ammo in the reunion to say, hey, you and I had this conversation and that's not what you said. But yeah. she jumped the gun too quickly. I think she wants to cement her place more mm-hmm. in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she should have told Meredith about that conversation with Whitney.
Oh, I agree, because it's like, I really think like she should be, for all intents and purposes, she should be on team like Heather, Whitney, Bronwyn. Like she has the most in common with them. But then it's like, you know, she continues to alienate them by being a little coward, as Whitney said. And I'm a huge Bronwyn fan too, but I do think it's like what she's very polarizing, and I think it's because she is able to deliver and show up, but she is just doing it from such an open place of zero self-worth. And it's why she can't hold on to any information, because that's like currency. And it's like she's like, well, I have no worth, so here's my currency. Here's my, you know, here you go. You know, it's like
loyalty, right? Like she's coming into a show, I guess she was here last season. So 4 seasons in,
mm-hmm.
big off the Jen Shah, the Monica stuff, mm-hmm. right? These ladies have bonded over serious trauma on these shows. And here Bronwyn is coming in and trying to find her friendships. And I think it's kind of failing when no one feels like they can trust you
yeah.
because you're just going to run and tell that other person.
Yeah, it's like you have to schmooze a little. And it's wild because, you know, as we will see in her solo footage this episode even, it's like Bronwyn really has a huge tolerance for sucking up to people while they're taking huge dumps on her in her life. But it's like, it seems like she came into Housewives really unwilling to do that. She was like, mm-hmm. I'm like not going to do that. That equals weak. I'm not going to kiss ass. I'm not going to like, you know, do the typical newbie thing. But it's also, you know, it's like makes her kind of a floater, you know, mm-hmm. where it's like even Brittany is now moving up the power rankings further, because at least she'll like, you know, is loyal to Lisa, like is trying to form those loyalties and relationships, whereas Bronwyn is like, I think she might just be at her capacity for taking shit from people from her personal life, you know, like she's just like, I can't.
And like I've seen other people talk about this online, is like, we don't see a lot of friendships with Bronwyn outside of the show. She doesn't have other female friends or male friends in general that she's mm-hmm. filming with. We know she's besties with Chris and Siriano, and that's absolutely amazing. But like mm-hmm. we don't see her grabbing coffee with anyone else. So I just wonder if it's like a friend fundamental thing in general. But I'm still a Bronwyn fan. But I don't think this lunch did Meredith and Lisa any favors.
No, certainly not, I think, because it's also like they're outnumbered, too. Yeah. And not like Meredith is, I guess, like a good arguer in terms of like she can intellectualize and detach and not get rattled when she's like, you know, defending herself. But like Lisa is not a good arguer. So
no.
And, you know, the case of the prosecution, they came in ready. They had all their facts. They even like nailed Lisa lying about global entry. Like, I mean,
that whole thing was so funny. The whole global entry. And then she would. And then, yeah, when they were like, I was confused at first, but I was like, whatever, we're going to go with it. And then when they were like, well, why didn't you even go like hang out with Brittany? Like, why didn't you yeah. talk to her while you guys were waiting through customs or whatever? oh, I was listening to Kendrick Lamar. And Mary being like,
Kendrick.
Not Kendrick. No, not Kendrick. We're putting Kendrick on the spot here. No.
Yeah, don't bring him into this.
Yeah, like, Lisa, you are not listening to Kendrick Lamar. Stop.
Yeah, shut up. Yeah, for 5 hours, like, his entire discography.
Exactly.
Meredith, I thought after this, Meredith would not back down at all. So I was pleasantly surprised when the luncheon ended, her sentence was handed down, and she did, at least reluctantly, cooperate at episode's end.
Yeah, that half-ass apology.
She served her probation.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, she maybe didn't serve enough time, but yeah. Okay, so then our next scene, we've got Bronwyn and Muzzy. We learned that Bronwyn was born in Brazil and her parents are from the UK. Wait, what?
Was like, okay, I don't remember this at all, but okay.
It's like, Muzzy isn't British?
Yeah, she must have been in the States for too long. She lost. Yeah.
But like, still, you would think she would have like a Pandora Vanderpump like half accent. I don't know.
Can you imagine LVP and Muzzy together? Oh my God. I don't even know what that would look like or what would happen, but I would be front row just to watch them talk about parenting.
Yes,
that needs to be a BravoCon panel next year. LVP and Muzzy, parenting 101.
Okay. Yeah, Muzzy. Okay, here's my theory about Todd and Muzzy. Notice how we never see them in the same scene together.
Okay, I heard.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, could it be a kind of Tootsie Mrs. Doubtfire type thing that Todd is putting on to further emotionally torment Bronwyn, just like, you know, using a different part of her psyche, her maternal, you know, neglect instead of her paternal neglect? Because they really are like the same person.
I heard that on your last episode and I cracked up laughing. I was like, oh my goodness. This is exactly like, we wouldn't be surprised because it's Bravo. And we've been surprised by so many things, aka Pam Oliver, Wendy Ostafo, and Hennessy.
Yes, Oliver Hennessy. Wait, no, yeah.
Pam Oliver, I was like, I'm a football girly, so I immediately think of the NFL analyst, and I'm like, she is probably waking up to all these like tags or like mentions of like, what is this?
But
no, I think seeing Muzzy this season, and I think Bronwyn and her and Gwen had a nice scene towards the end of the episode, but you kind of understand maybe why Bronwyn sought out Todd, or not sought out, but
why she married her mother.
Yeah. It's that cycle. Like, it's that other, mm-hmm. when you asked earlier, do we watch it for comedy, drama, morality? We watch it for the psyche too.
Yes. And like, to the Bronwyn haters, I'm like, I feel like they kind of ignore how much she's giving in terms of that. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, I love Bronwyn. I mean, I she's had some missteps for sure, but so have all the ladies. Like, mm-hmm. we don't need to hold her feet to the fire when everyone does the same thing. Like, hypocrisy is such a theme on these shows mm-hmm. that you just kind of have to, like, recognize it and move on to the next.
And I do think Bronwyn being, like, a snitch for approval, you know, it does come from, like, not a place. It comes from a place of, like, low self-worth and, like, wanting to not get, like, be vulnerable and get fucked over. So it's like, okay, I'm just kind of keeping everyone at a distance and not letting them in. Yeah. And I think that, like, you know, once we have maybe Muzzy out of the picture, we have more of a, she gets more control over this Todd situation, then she might be willing to open herself up a little more for friendship. I just feel so defensive of her because, like, I feel like a lot of people who are more like, watch Housewives for fun and comedy, like, who usually have the same opinions as me, are like Bronwyn haters because she's a tryhard. But I'm like, everyone in Salt Lake City is a tryhard. That's why she fits, in my opinion. They all tried way too hard.
Yeah, I mean, everyone in Bravo is much, like, they want to be famous or elevate their life in some way. They're putting themselves on these shows for something, you know? I also think we have to give Bronwyn some grace this season because of everything she is going on with her father and Mezzi and Gwen wanting to leave. Like, there's so many major changes going on in her life that, her walls are up. She is just trying to do what she can. So I'm really hoping next season for her, she is able to soften her armor a little bit and build some relationships. Because I could see her having a great friendship with Whitney. I could see her having a good friendship with Angie. Like, I think there's potential. I just think this season there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on for her. But I think what viewers underestimate is how compelling it is, that the stuff she's showing us, and how much she is really opening up to us on, like, you know, this is a show where it's like the personal storylines are often pretty guarded, you know, when we're looking at a Heather, a Whitney, you know, a Meredith, like, it's like
Lisa, because that conversation with her and John at the cafe last week? Yeah. Mm. He's like, I don't listen to 90% of the things you say. I mean, you could just see their dynamic. Like, Lisa is a power person.
Yes. She's a top, he's a bottom. Yeah. And that's just how they are. Like, I don't think, you know, they're having this conversation to, you know, I guess show a little more, because I think John's probably embarrassed about that. Like, her storyline is that she was maybe cheating on him this season, like, with the guy who gave her money. But, like, I think I do think they are happy. They are happy with her never listening to him and being all about herself.
It's their normal. That's their thing. If it works for them, it works for them. And we just gotta go with it. But Muzzy calling Bronwyn an oopsie baby.
Oh my God. Just to her face. Like,
she's like, yeah, you know, we were in Brazil and you came.
Come to Brazil. Yeah, that's crazy, dude. I mean, all the little ways Bronwyn is undermined, and under any time she tries to, like, gain a little bit of power in, like, her mother or marital dynamic, it's just like, it's like pulling away the football every time.
Should we talk about this Wayfair sponsorship that we get in the next scene?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even notice.
Heather's office?
Okay, yeah. I'm not a big, like, home decor. As you can see, you know, this is my decor, is the wigs and the Jar Jar Binks mask.
We talked about the 2007 Nate Berkus cloth right behind me, you know.
Right, vintage. A great year for Nate Berkus, yeah. Archival Berkus.
And I totally made up the year. I have no idea. But, so Heather, she, like, has her new love. Den office area, whatever she's calling it, and then literally was like, I got everything from Wayfair. And then after the scene's over, we cut to commercial and it's her whole Wayfair ad.
Oh my god,
this is perfect. Go Heather,
she's so the golden child right now of the network. They love her.
You know what, okay, what are your opinions on
she was kind of losing me a little. Kind of like, you know, she really took a fall from grace in her Ultimate Girls Trip, where she was just so, I guess, kind of being like what people complain about with Bronwyn now, where she was like, you know, kind of like, except she was doing a lot of schmoozing, kissing ass, and then also, like, you know, information triangulating. And then the Jin Xia black eye, people were obviously rightfully upset about that. She, like, you know, teased us like that, and like used abuse as like a was it or wasn't fun storyline
and a leverage to maybe get something else or to stay on the show, or for, like, I feel like she's positioned herself the way that Giselle has positioned herself now on Potomac, of I'm gonna be the mediator, the voice of reason. I might not have to give a main storyline now because my storyline's going to be your lives and repairing them.
Yes. And I think, like, the transition there was a little awkward. And then obviously, like, sometimes delivered spectacular TV, like the Monica reveal.
Yeah.
And then other times, like, a little, especially last season, a little clunky. Mm-hmm. But this season, I feel like, especially since she's brought Whitney into, like, kind of a creative partnership, a creative silent partnership in that, she's really, like, you know, whipping, like, the ensemble into shape. Like, it really helps to have her kind of control the chaos a little bit and kind of, like, you know, create those rules of, like, if it's behind your back, you've got to say it to your face. It really, she's really given a lot of order to the proceedings in a way that's still fun because she's really, like, blackout drunk most of the time when she's doing it.
So I would give anything to have five espresso martinis with Heather Gay.
Oh my God. Yes.
And Whitney.
And that's Heather's appeal, I think. It's like she's having a bad season if it's like she's someone who you wouldn't want to, like, have drinks with. She's having a killer season if it's like that's the person I want to have drinks with and talk about all the nitty gritty, like all the storyline choice, you know, like all the behind the scenes tea. Like her and Whitney are very much, you know, the dream hangouts of the season right now. Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. Again, she has, I feel like, some haters too, but it's like, you know, who are like, oh, she's controlling the story too much, but it's like, well, but the results, they speak for themselves.
Yeah, she is doing a better job at the guiding of the story. Yeah, I guess I can give her some credit for that. Sometimes I'm just like, when your storyline is other people's business,
it's
like,
yeah,
I
selfish.
Need you to bring something in addition to that.
Yeah.
Which I guess is her, like, loving being an empty nester.
Yeah, no, that doesn't count. We know that doesn't count. Yeah. That's some Giselle shit, as you said. Yeah. But I'm okay with it just because I feel like this, I really see the work that they've all put into this season. So it's like, I'll give her some, but it's like, if it's going to continue in a Giselle direction where it's like fake dating Bravo celebrities, which we've flirted with Captain Jason and stuff, I'm like, I don't like that. I'd rather, like, just give up her screen time and focus on the people who are willing to give, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Great point.
Another weird part about this was that Heather's like, I lived in such a small home with three kids and now I'm in my dream house. And it's like, her home was big before too. And now it's really big. Like, it's what?
And we're the only one there now. Like, it's
what?
Your house was big before. Like, I'm sure you were fine. I don't know. She's just going through a little.
Rebranding.
Trying to figure out who she is now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she wants to find someone. And it seems like Salt Lake City's a pretty small city. So I don't think the pickings are great there.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, like, you have to find someone who, I mean, yeah, she has so, like, I feel like she's worked through a lot of hangups genuinely on the show. Like, I feel like that this season. But, like, I think, like, so often with housewives, you don't want to date someone who wants to be on the show, but then you have to date someone who wants to be on the show because she doesn't have a storyline, you know? So it's like, I don't see her finding someone who she would show or won the show, I feel like, and it being, like, real, you know?
And then that's going to be tough because there's going to come a time where, like, you're going to have to show your partner at some point. But if Todd can do it, if Todd can get on that screen and eat Bronwyn's cherry, you know, like, Heather can find the guy.
Heather can find, but I think the thing, I think Todd's secret is he loves it. He fucking loves being on TV.
He just, like, scrolls late at night, like, in the bathroom, and is just like, look at me, look at me.
He reminds me of, like, Jim Edmonds, kind of. Like, he's not as big of an asshole as him, but where Jim was like, oh, your fucking show. But it's like he loved, like, being such a cunt to all those ladies behind their back. He just, like, milked it, you know? I'm like, that's
he was
hot.
Probably, like, a villain in business or, like, was fine, like, you know, big business, Palm Pilot, big tech guy. You know, like, he probably was in that. So now he's like, I get to do this on this show and just, like, come in, do what I want whenever.
Yes. Yeah. Lay down the law. Like, you know, yeah. deliver orders to Bronwyn. Yeah. My underling. So then we get Lisa and Meredith having a pedicure, mani-pedi. Meredith is mad at Whitney about calling her mental health and drinking into question. Mm-hmm. And Meredith says she does not plan to move forward with Brittany at all. So continues to fake me out. The fake out works on me. I didn't think that she was going to apologize. And then we see that Lisa and Brittany met up in flashback. Brittany is like, Lisa, you are part of this. You're complicit. This is like, you know, the worst thing that's happened to me in my life. So it's like, it's moving down the list of worst things every episode. Like, it was the worst thing ever with Jared. Now it's the sixth. So she is calming down. And Lisa's takeaway is, yeah, we're fine now. We're totally fine. Everything's good. Okay.
For as much as like Lisa and Meredith are friends, we don't get a lot of one-on-one scenes with them. No. So when I saw them together, I was like, oh, this is different. Like, I had never seen them do this stuff. But I loved when Meredith started doing Whitney's accent and being like, she's on her healing journey. Like, why is she focusing on me? She's got so much going on. It's like, oh, this is what I love. This is what I love from the Housewives. Be petty, be silly, make fun of how they talk when they have these silly little accents. Like,
for Meredith, it's so unexpected. Like when she was being Uni the Unicorn and being like, I want to take a bath. It was just, she's usually so measured and specific in her slurred accent. And then when she does like a different voice, you're like, wait, what? She can do it? Yeah, it's just so unexpected.
1,000%. It cracked me up.
Do you think Lisa and Brittany are just fine now, or do you think Brittany might shift loyalties?
I think Brittany accepted it because she is desperate for that friendship. Yeah. But I didn't like how Lisa was like, and I hate using the word gaslighting, but she was basically telling Brittany her account of everything was wrong, and she was telling Brittany telling Lisa her own experience and Lisa being like, no, that's inaccurate. And then Brittany she feels like if she went forward and kept up that fight, Lisa would come at her throat regardless, like with anything, right? Like we've seen Lisa blow up on people. We've seen Lisa blow up out of the blue. Like Brittany was probably like, I'm just not going to want to deal with this. So sure.
Yeah, it's not worth it for her to, like, give more ammo to Meredith instead of trying to, like, quell the situation. So I guess that is where Lisa is coming from when she's like, I was supporting you. I've been supporting you. I'm, like, not telling Meredith to release your Social Security and how much money you made last year and da-da-da-da, because that would be if I didn't support you. I think where she's...
And then Meredith turning herself into the bigger person.
My God.
That drives me absolutely crazy.
She's so smug.
Been there, done that. We've seen it before. It's Housewives 101. Well, I'm going to be the bigger person. I know she's going through so much professionally and personally. Mm-hmm. You know, she's struggling. So I'll just accept it for what it is. I'm sorry that I hurt her feelings and we'll move on. It's like,
I don't like when Meredith has it both ways where she's like, I'm the elevated, progressive, like, ally, gay icon. But also, I'm going to, like, pull the Lisa move and shame people for, like, not having a traditional marriage and, like, not being able to hold on to a man and not having, like, an important career with lots of, you know, disposable cash. It's like, okay, you know, like, I feel like it's being the smaller person. It really is.
Yeah, it's being an aware person.
Yes, being oblivious. So then Whitney gets a U-Haul, and the theme for this was, it's like the funeral for Heather's marital bed as they pull it out. And, like, Heather's dressed funereal, like, black lace, gloves. Whitney is dressed like a magician in a porno. Like, she is dressed in... I do like when she leans into, like, I'm the horny one. But this outfit was... This flummoxed me.
literally, I was like, this is what Heather would wear to a funeral. And this is exactly what I would think Whitney would wear. Thank you, Whitney, yes, for being on brand. Yes. So on brand. You know, like Whitney's been struggling with her businesses. Mm-hmm. I would love for Whitney, her stripper poles back up. Yes. Lean into that sexuality.
Yes.
Let's put her a sex toy line.
That's so smart. Like, let's, the second you said collab, it, I was like, yes.
Right? Let's get her some bedroom candy collab. Bring that up to Salt Lake City. Like,
yes, flavored lube, like, yeah, that's, she totally, and she could kind of just, like, do the same kind of, like, MLM wholesale business she was doing before, or drop shipping, I think was her business before. So it's like, just drop ship, you know, lube.
Yeah. I think it would be, I think that is Whitney's next career move.
Yes, that's so smart.
To go into, but okay, yeah, Heather wearing full-on heels, trying to get this mattress off of her Brock Spring. I am so proud of her for not busting ass.
Yes, like, yeah, that's poise.
Yes, yeah, it's poise. They did it. I mean, I don't know if we needed to see this, but it made me laugh.
Yeah, it was cute. It was like the right amount of time for me not to be like, okay, you know, like, I was a little okay when she was like, trust me, those are not sex stains. It's like, yeah, Heather, no one was thinking that. And she's like, because I let men come inside me the Mormon way. I was like, okay, yeah.
She literally said, God doesn't like waste. So, you know, no waste here. I was like, girl. No.
And also, like, I don't believe she's so cautious and, like, in control. I don't believe that she's, like, letting, you know, men come inside her all the time. I just don't believe it.
Or when she, at the beginning of the season, when they were camping and she was like, I can't spit anymore because I've had so much Botox in my mouth. I was like, girl. Or filler, whatever. We don't.
But you know what she's doing? Did you see this season of Orange County?
No.
Okay.
I abstained. I just watched clips and hated with everyone in the comments.
Yeah, you may have done yourself a service. It was very divisive. I'm like such an OC apologist. I still enjoyed it. But that was very, because Shannon just did Love Hotel. That was Shannon's storyline. Was basically like, I'm horny, or I'm gonna, you know, every once in a while she's like, yeah, I'm going on a date, or like, how would you feel if I found someone? You know, it's like they're just trying to incorporate that synergy for the next show. And that's like what I don't super appreciate. That I feel like is more of a production thing than a Heather thing, though. They're like, why don't you use your footage in this show to promote this other show for carryover? And I'm like, No.
We want it to happen organically.
Exactly.
We don't need it to be forced. Like, yes, it would make sense for her to be on it, but don't force it down our throat. Like, let it happen.
We don't need foreshadowing of Heather Gay as a sexual being all season to really feed into, you know, we don't need the Chekhov's gun of the cum on the mattress.
We know she's horny. We know she's horny and alone. We get it.
Yes. Yeah. That's not story, you know.
Okay. But this totally, like, took my emo heart. It, like, awoken my emo heart. Heather said, I think it was in a confessional. I just want a bed to sleep on that isn't stained with 20 years of broken dreams.
She and is like, a poetess sometimes.
Yeah, but get that on a shirt, get that on a hat. I'm sure she has something coming down the pike with Bravo on that. But I was like, oh.
A collaboration with My Chemical Romance to make an album cover. Or a Live Let Live, Live Love.
Laugh sign.
Laugh sign, but that, that would make bank, too. That's really what she should do, is, like, pithy little, you know, home decorations with Wayfair.
Home decor, Home decor for Heather.
Yes.
Sex flying for Whitney.
Duh.
You got it.
No brainer. Yeah. because then it's like, at least if they're going to have kind of empty synergy storylines, they're peddling their own wares as well. You know, they're getting their cut. So then we have this Olivia and Brittany, Olivia Brittany's estranged daughter, televised therapy date. Continues to be... Well, Angela, I got to be honest with you. Even though this is really sad, I find this storyline so funny. It's like, it's tell like
more. Tell me why. Tell me why.
So have you seen Arrested Development?
Years ago. I don't remember anything.
Sorry, this is kind of what our podcast is famous for. And by famous, I mean to the like three people who listen to it, is we make references to stuff that no one remembers and then have to spend a really long time explaining it. And then it doesn't even pay off. But with that in mind, so Job Bluth is, you know, like the Will Arnett character. He's like, and he's like a ne'er-do-well. He's like a, you know, wannabe magician. He's a loser. And he like, you know, has fucks a lot of ladies. He's a huge womanizer. And he doesn't, he joins like a Big Brother's program, but as the little brother, because he misses his like adult father who's in jail. And then also his illegitimate child has joined the program too as a little brother because he never knew his dad. And like they, and he doesn't know that he's his son either. So then they join up and it's like, okay, we'll be like each other's dads, you know. And it's like,
this is what that scene is about.
Yes.
No, that's 1,000%. They're like, I need a mother, and she's like, I need a mother too. And they're like, okay, we can be each other's mothers. And the therapist is like, my job is done.
Yeah, good. I'll say it. Yeah, the therapist who looked so much like Michaela from Secret Lives of Mormon Wives to me. I feel like
I thought she looked like Demi, but. Also, just the very dry hair.
Yes.
The dry hair in Utah.
It's the, she, I'm sure the reason we've both thought that, I bet she has extensions by jizz.
Yeah. It,
hair by jizz.
It
has to be.
It has to be. They are, they need
crunch.
Some love.
They need some love. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Much like Brittany and her daughter.
Yes. They need a mom, much like Brittany and her daughter. So Brittany, like, they sit down and Brittany's like, where do I begin? And it's clear she's like, she's not gonna start. Olivia's like, okay, I just have to like step in and take over. And she's like, okay, well, things were good until she divorced my dad, and then she, you know, remarried really quickly, and you know, he was her old world, we weren't her priority. And I didn't even know, this is like a new horrifying wrinkle we hadn't heard about. He had children, and she became more of a mother to the stepchildren.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
That is so, I mean, if you wanted to know where your mom, like how much your mom cared about you and like ranked you, not rank, but you know, like,
yes.
I mean, wow, you can really tell like where her priorities were if
she suddenly wasn't showing up for dance recitals, soccer practices, anything for her kids, but we're doing that for her new stepkids.
All like, to please her new, again, pleasing a man.
Pleasing a man.
This validation aspect of something that she did not get in her past at some point, and passing it down to the children and make them victims of her own pain. It's sad.
Yeah, or trauma, as the therapist says. I love that this was such a god. The therapist was like, okay, this is kick ass. All right, I got this locked and loaded. They're both like, both daughters are like, I'm afraid. I don't know what happens next. And she's like, do you know what that sounds like? Pause. Trauma. And they're like, yes, trauma. And the therapist's like patting herself on the back. I hate TV therapists. They're so full of shit.
Gosh. Yeah, I mean, I am very new into therapy.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm liking it so far. Mm-hmm. It's helped me a lot. Got on some medication. That's helped me a lot, too. So the combo of everything is bringing me back to life.
Good.
But I was like, I don't know if I like this therapist approach as I don't know if she's had enough life experience to be able to talk to this mother and daughter who have issues for years type thing. Like,
and really jumping in like an ex. And you could see how like lost she was too, where it's like, you know, she kind of feels like Brittany is the abandoned child. She was like, Brittany, tell us more about like, why did you forgive yourself?
Yeah.
Like, why are you so, why don't you just let it go and, you know, forgive? Like, how does that make you feel that she won't forgive herself, Olivia? Olivia's like, good, because she has not admitted to me yet that she did something wrong. So
exactly.
The idea that she is forgiving herself means she's realized. And the therapist is like, okay, got that. cool. Like, just,
yeah, I was just like, this is weird. Like, Brittany needs to have her therapy on her own.
Yes.
Figure out stuff. Then they need to come back together and have many more sessions where Brittany can take ownership for what she did and, like, really apologize for it, because whatever was shown in that scene, I was like, why are we just so focused on Brittany and not her daughter?
Yeah, because I'm sure it's like, it's the TV therapy, you know, so it's, yeah, like, she's like, okay, yeah, I know that Brittany is like the character, so let's just like really, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but also it is like, again, to like get pedantic, my favorite thing is that I do feel like that some therapists, it's like a it is a really easy way to, I guess, manipulate people in general without even really meaning to, when you are hard on yourself, when you're like, I'm ashamed, I feel bad, I can't forgive myself. And the instinct is, right, to be like, no, we need to fix that right now. Reframe what you're thinking. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes about that, like, mm-hmm, that idea blocking you from whatever's actually going on, rather than like being like, well, maybe this is shame and that's not healthy, but maybe like, that guilt is about something.
Yeah.
You know?
We're going to band-aid that.
Yes, yes.
And then we're going to help you learn skills to, like, keep that band-aid on.
Exactly, exactly.
And
instead
move
of just
on
nursing
with
that
your
wound.
Life.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I do hope that, God, I hope that they are, like, in therapy that isn't paid for and televised on Bravo, hopefully. Like,
yeah, I'm really proud of her daughter for coming
on. She's amazing.
And
yeah,
being vulnerable and opening up that story and speaking her truth and just really,
yes,
saying, like, this is what's happened in my life and I'm trying to have a relationship with you now that we're older, right? Like, your perspective or maybe your understanding changes a little bit from being, mm-hmm, a underage child and then, like, being an adult child and, like, understanding your parents in a different way, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, there still needs to be a lot of work there.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And to Brittany's credit, I do think that, like, I don't know if it speaks to her thirst or her willingness to be vulnerable, but, like, the fact that how many times have we seen this kind of same dynamic in relationships with housewives and their kids, but the housewife, like, has to control it, or, like, I'm actually a good mom, like, you know, the what they're saying was false, like, or that we've been triangulated against by the dad or whatever. And Brittany is, like, actually showing that she was a shitty mom who,
yeah,
like, chose men and fame and stuff over her kids, and she's kind of like, you know, she's pretty dissociated as she's, like, mm-hmm, hearing it and copping to it and watching it play out on the national stage, but it's like, she is showing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of huge for housewives.
No, I think that's great. And I like Brittany. I think, mm-hmm, she's a good character on the show. Definitely flawed, has things to work on, but I really hope that she does go back and watch the season and that we hear at the reunion that,
yeah,
she is working on that relationship, because I think that's another good thing about these reality shows is that there's a lot of self-reflection and then,
yeah,
whatever people choose to do, they choose to do, but,
mm-hmm,
you know, they can at least hopefully try.
Hopefully. And I do think that, like, her being more honest and being willing to, like, you know, well, yeah, like, obviously the daughter is the incredibly emotionally mature one who's been through all this and really been willing to, mm-hmm, say it on TV, all these really very emotionally aware and intelligent after such a traumatic experience already at such a young age. But for having that, the line of communication actually open instead of trying to control, you know, the storyline, it's like, I hopefully, instead of just trying to control the storyline in the future so she doesn't look like a bad mom, she'll actually care about, because she was more honest,
yeah,
I hope. And because her daughter was brave enough to be more honest with her.
Yeah, for sure.
I hope.
Should
I'm kind of optimistic. Is that crazy?
No. No.
Yeah. You're not. That's fair.
Should we get on to the next mother-daughter duo of
God, yes, yes. So we've got Muzzy and Bronwyn and Gwyn, three generations of fuck-ass Bobs, and they are going to Bonsai by Me. So like Muzzy, I'm not sure I get the pun. Oh, am I missing something, Angela?
I am obsessed with right? They're going to this plant shop. Gwen wants a bonsai for her chameleons to hang out on or something, mm-hmm. which I didn't think that was a thing, right?
I didn't know that they, yeah.
Cool. But cool. Then I love, like, to get this process started of repotting and planting this bonsai, right? You need to break up the roots a little bit. So normally a very gentle process, right? You're not destroying the plant. We see Gwen, we see Bronwyn, they're gently doing it. Camera pans to Muzzy, and she is just like, destroying that.
That's so Muzzy, you know?
Like, oh, we're like, oh, okay, we need to get her in a rage room next. Like, we need to get her into something where she can just let it all out, because there's no bonsai left here.
Oh, I think it's, yeah, anything like vulnerable that like other people would maybe handle with care, Muzzy is like, chop, 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 chop. You know, that's just, that's her way, you know. Yeah, she's very like the bull in the china shop, you know, and she needs to really let loose and get it all out. So then Muzzy, we learned that Muzzy and Gwen both planning to leave Bronwyn. I think Bronwyn's talked about it a little bit, but this is like the first scene where they're all talking about.
Yeah.
She's going to be an empty nester both ways. Bronwyn is now really upset and not wanting Muzzy to leave, which I was like, really?
We all want Muzzy to leave. Well, maybe not, because, man, the TV that you guys live in is great. But, yes. Like, for your mental health, maybe she should go somewhere else.
Yeah. And I do think we learn more where it's like, oh, my gosh, Bronwyn is so scared of abandonment that she wants Muzzy to stay here. Like, and she, like, they try to, like, cut the footage of, like, Bronwyn's like, and our relationship has gotten so much better. And we get, like, a short scene of Bronwyn being like, Todd's cheating on me. And then Muzzy's like, you're like Lucille Ball. Ricky, you got some splaining to do. I'm like, that's a good memory? And then, like, her dad with dementia, like, on his birthday.
Yeah.
And, like, that, you know, is, like, moving. But it's also, like, you know, a intensely sad thing. And she's like, we've been having so much fun lately. I'm like, footage not found.
They are both going through really intense things. And I don't think they know how to communicate it effectively.
Yeah.
And the way that we are going to deal with our sadness and our trauma and everything is to lash out and to maybe make you feel the same way that I'm feeling right now, right? And that conversation that they had earlier this year or this season, the first time we were introduced to Muzzy, it was kind of like, oh, you have pain. Like, you have a lot going on, and you pass that down to Bronwyn, and Bronwyn is trying to give Gwen a different kind of childhood and upbringing and trying to handle this change into adulthood differently than she has. And it's hard because her mom doesn't understand that.
No, her mom is very much like believes. She's like, that's what's kind of tough about Muzzy. She's very aware where she's like, no, that is how you treat a bonsai, is you stab it. Like, I need to continue to punish you for the shame you brought upon me and the mistakes you made, because life didn't punish you. So that's my job as your parent. And especially now that your dad is like, you know, not completely himself anymore, you know, now it's my job to carry on his, like, part of the punishment too, you know. So it's like, I kind of need to, you know, continue to make you feel bad. She thinks that's what she thinks is parenting. That's what she thinks, like, God's love is. That's how she was raised, you know.
It's wild. And I think that's why, like, people connect with Bronwyn in that certain way, or can hopefully see that more with her, because everyone, I think, has some sort of familial issues or close people that they've had these types of conversations with. And then you get to see how it plays out and, like, how maybe they try to fix it together. But I don't know. I enjoyed this scene with them. I thought it was nice to see them calm and talking and laughing, even if it was this random ass plant.
Yeah, and that Muzzy is still, like, really passive aggressive jabs still. Or like Barman's like, oh, Muzzy, please, if you stay, I can get rid of Todd. And Muzzy's like, I think Todd's going to get rid of you. Which those are the only times she smiles ever, if you've noticed, is when she's like putting Barman down. She's like,
She like twirls her hair.
Flicks her garage door blue eyeshadow.
I mean, in my family, sarcasm is a love language. Like, we are definitely, same, like, we rag on each other for sure. But there is a level.
There's a line.
To where we go. And,
Well, also, it's like, it has to be, and my family's like, it's fine if it's funny, you know, that Muzzy wit is not, you know, I don't want to see Muzzy on a roast anytime soon, because it's really just really incisive and hurtful.
Yeah, it's a lot, but I'm interested to see, like, if Gwen does end up leaving, she wants to go to Portland with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll find out at the reunion what the status is, if she's flying there. But
it'll be interesting to see, because it's like, I think that, you know, it's hard for these housewives' kids where it's like, there's so many opportunities I could have by, like, you know, staying on reality TV. My mom is down for me to film, you know, as much as I want to and stuff. But, like, also that means giving up privacy. Like, it's just, it's hard to, I guess, make that choice, you know? It'll be interesting to see what she decides, especially because, like, is she an artist?
I don't know.
I can never keep the kids straight, to be honest. Their aspirations. She's the one with Wolf,
right? He's a bowler.
No. A bowler? Okay. Yeah. See, and the housewives, I guess, could help her with endorsements if she went pro. I don't know.
We go bowling everywhere.
Oh, that's right. Bowling is code for having sex not in the house.
Yeah. Her and her boyfriend just need to get out of the house.
Right. Which, wow, how would they want to get away from Todd and Muzzy? Shocking, but...
And all the dogs. Where are the dogs?
I guess, I don't know. I'm like, maybe because they shit on the floor last season, Varlin's like, now they are always...
because, like, the dogs could definitely be keeping Gwen busy, like, 1,000%. There's, like, 10 of them.
That's true.
I don't know what she huge. Does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what all... turns out. We have the final scene, which I think was a nice conclusion, surprising for me, where Meredith does apologize that she heard her overheard her talking to Lisa, that it was the wrong place and the wrong time, and she's sorry if she hurt Brittany's feelings. Mm-hmm. And I do think the apology itself was meh, but not as meh as her describing the apology later. It's like she kind of didn't cop to the apology she gave. She was like, I just said sorry I hurt your feelings, which is like, well, no, you also said it was inappropriate, she was within earshot, like, you took more accountability than you want to admit, when it's like, why? You know that that's what the people in your cast want, like, why are you did the time, so why are you being like, actually I didn't?
Yeah, I feel, you know, like, there is a difference between you venting to your friend and yelling and doing all that in the privacy. But, like, Meredith, you knew what you were doing when you and Lisa were yelling or raising your voices and talking loudly about Brittany behind your back. So, apologize. Yeah. It was the wrong place. It was the wrong time. Meredith can have her feelings and vent to Lisa all she wants. But the allegedly aggressive nature that it happened in was uncalled for.
Yes, you're like, I have such low expectations for Meredith's accountability that I was pleasantly surprised, but you're so frustrated that she can't take any accountability for the, I did realize you were hearing me and continued to do it, which is like the important piece.
What you were doing. And also, like, okay, do you think there's any footage from the plane ride that they're going to show at the reunion?
I would love that. Does seem like a Heather and Whitney move, you know? I don't want to get my hopes up, But it does seem like, you know, we've seen that they are really good at that, you know, holding on to a piece and waiting until the right time. Mm-hmm. And it also just seems unlike them that they wouldn't have gotten some kind of footage, you know,
something. I'm hoping Bravo's gonna do what they did for the Vanderpump Rules reunion, right, where they're like, the last 5 minutes of footage, we're gonna watch it all here together, like,
I the want live react. That. I think they will do that. I don't want to get my hopes up, but that would be perfect.
I'm putting it out there. I'm hoping.
Okay, into the universe. Yeah,
into the universe. Dream. We have to have something, ladies. Come
yes.
on.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that they, like, learn their lesson from, you know, how badly the Black Eye went, and then how well the holding on to the Monica stuff all season and waiting for the finale to announce it went, you know, like, so, and I, you know, they know how like Heather, I feel like, really took a lot of notes from viewers this season. She knew how, like, ballistic people went over that Kathy Hilton footage we never got, you know, like, she's not going to bait people like that, I feel like, without having backup.
Yeah. There has
fingers
to be
crossed.
Something.
There's got to be. There's got to be.
I know, but I'm glad that it seems to be resolved. Yes. I hate when things go on for too long. We don't need it. We need to keep the story flowing. And then if there's anything you need to wrap up, do it at the reunion. Or if anything comes up later, let's talk about it then. But I don't want 5+ episodes of, like, one thing, unless it's something, like, super duper major, like a big scandal. But
right.
So I'm glad that this ended.
Resolved. And that's why I had, like, initial tolerance for it. I think I was like, I know this will be 2 episodes max. And they did. And that's, I think, another, like, of the really good work they're doing this season is that they are pressuring each other to resolve certain points so we can move on to what's next instead of just leaving a lot of things open-ended.
Yeah.
These gals, I Angela.
I know. It's, when you said we're covering Salt Lake City, I was like, oh, I can't wait, because I have gotten so many friends on this show. One of my best friends is watching it now. Her husband watches it now. Like, we just, we talked about it at a Friendsgiving with people who were like, what are you talking about? And we were like, no, sit, listen, we're gonna teach you about these wonderful women. Please go home and do your homework and watch. Like, it's just, it's great television. And
I
love finding other people who have, like, the same passion to talk about strangers on.
Yes, it's such a great communal language. Like, and yes, SLC especially, it's kind of like VPR, where it's so fun to spread the gospel, if you will, carrying the message, like Mormonism. Yes. Well, actually, we are so interested in spreading the gospel to like-minded Salt Lake City lovers or people who have not yet come to Jesus/Utah that we are starting a show in Dallas on Tuesday nights at the Grapevine Bar, where we have, like, a 7 p.m. live watch of the episode as it airs. We can be all together, a community, and then a short, like, show afterwards, which is kind of like a Watch What Happens Live show, but it's us doing it live. Games, prizes, trivia. So you've got to come down to Dallas at some point when work permits and be our guest.
I would love that so much. It sounds like so much fun. Oh, I love in-person hangs, watching the shows together. Like, it makes it so much better.
It is like, sorry to, you know, be really heavy-handed with this metaphor, but it is like church. Like, the Pope said movies are like church. So is live watching Bravo together.
1,000%. Bravo is my religion. It's my next tattoo.
So, I love it. I'll also sell that idea to Heather, because it would make a great.
Oh, yes. I know. I'm going to start making a list. I will be DMing these women, like, hey, you don't know me, but I have some ideas for you.
Yeah, I'm a brand, free brand consulting. Great. Well, so where can people find your podcast, Angela? Wonderful Garbage Podcast.
Yes. Okay. So I took a break from podcasting earlier this year just for my mental health, but my co-host Julia and I are coming back in January. New podcast. We still have Wonderful Garbage, but we'll be releasing episodes every Tuesday. You can find us, though, at It's Wonderful Garbage on Instagram and Threads and TikTok. I'm on Twitter, too, but it's kind of scary over there, so not on there as much. but all on social media. And then our podcast episodes, we're going to be revamping everything. They'll be on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube.
Yay, awesome. So follow her, listen up, and then yeah, please come back anytime. We have so much to talk about still.
I had so much fun talking with you. I'm so sad I missed Michelle, but I love listening to y'all, and just thank you so much for this opportunity. This was so much fun.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for coming, and you gotta come to our you gotta be a guest on our show at some
point.
I
would love that. Don't worry about it. I love a little getaway trip to Dallas. Not too far. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. And then we'll have you back ASAP to talk about all the stuff we didn't get to talk about.
I know. This was so much fun. No, thank you so much. I love this.
Thanks so much for coming. All right. Bravo.